Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe, we have not yet heard from Predators general manager Barry Trotz to close out the season. Now, he was originally supposed to have a press conference last week, and then that didn't happen. So we had a lot of stuff going on last week with the NFL draft, obviously, so we did not have a ton of time to get to the developments with the Predators last week. But we have still not heard from Barry Trotz after the season, when he was originally supposed to speak last week. So, as we know, the future of Andrew Brunette is unclear. As of Andrew Brunette's press conference last week, he did not know whether or not he was going to be back as head coach, and we talked about that. So, yesterday, Mike Sullivan gets fired, or I guess parted ways is the way they put it, with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he's a two-time Stanley Cup winning head coach that is now out there and available. What's going to happen with Rick Tocchet and his situation with Vancouver? I mean, there could be some intriguing names that are out there as far as coaches are concerned. So, Joe, as we sit here today, what's your read on this situation, knowing that Trotz was supposed to speak last week, he did not speak, and to this point we have not heard when that will be happening as it relates to the future of Andrew Brunette?
Have I gotten a prediction wrong on this show before? I can't recall.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think I'm 100%. So, as that is the case, I got to say, I'm about 58-42 that he's going to fire Andrew Brunette.
58-42? Okay.
58-42. I was probably, I don't know if I was in the 90s. I know that sometimes we say these numbers and then I forget, but I was high the other way, that pretty obvious some of the stuff Trotz saying late in the year. And then again, like Jared did a good job at least once of being like, okay, so he's coming back for sure. No. But still, like the overall commentary from Trotz, and there's quite a bit of it, you know, to his credit, was, yeah, Brunette's coming back. And I feel the other way now. You know, like you pointed out, Robbie, there was stuff last week. So, like, you could make the case if you're in the Preds organization to, you know, wait and not do stuff around the NFL draft. But that's never really – I mean, the Preds and Titans have had plenty of big news items bumping up against each other. And it's just this delay. It's how could you not think that this means that he's really – mulling over this decision, and yeah, that probably some new information since he said those things late in the year has given him pause.
I would agree. I mean, to me, it seems pretty clear that both the comments that were made publicly at the end of the season press conference, and we talked about those with Stamkos and Marchessault, if those were made publicly, what was said behind closed doors? What did Barry Trotz and Steven Stamkos discuss in the end of season meetings? What did Jonathan Marchessault bring up with Barry Trotz at the end of season meetings, the exit meetings, as it relates to Brunette? You know, look, I can't say for sure that Brunette's going to be gone, but it does kind of feel that way, right? Like, to get all the way to the end of this, to delay it as long as they have, and then for them to come back at some point later this week and just be like, yeah, Andrew Brunette's our head coach. Like, it's going to be, all right, well, like, it seems like this was a pretty lengthy discussion and decision on y'all's part. Like, what really led into all this? Now, I'm not saying it can't happen, but the longer this goes on, the more it makes me think that Andrew Brunette may not be coming back as head coach next year. So then the question becomes, like, if that's the case, what do you do? How attractive is your job? Like, could a Mike Sullivan actually come here? Like, I saw some thoughts out there yesterday that with, you know, the TV deals coming in and the caps going up and all that stuff, like, he could reset the coaching market in terms of the money that he makes. So does that interest you if you're the Predators going that route? Like, there's a lot that goes with that, but just strictly on the Brunette front, like, clearly I think just reading the tea leaves here, Joe, the exit meetings were pretty interesting here with the Predators. And I think that's the reason why we've not seen a decision made to this point.
Hey guys, welcome to the presser. What? No. Oh yeah, of course Burnett's coming back. Now, Chad Brinker and I got pulled away from a meeting to what we're going to name the Major League Baseball team if we get one. So, no, sorry.
Met Chad at the Lowe's.
We had some meetings. Yeah. Brinker and I both really love going to Home Depot, okay? yeah. No, it's
is that an off-white? What kind of you think that's a good color?
Eggshell white. Really like that one. Yeah, it's it would be. I mean, it's possible, of course. It's not 99-1, I'm 58-42. And yeah, that's right, Robert. I'm 58-42. I'm not going to be 60-40. I'm 58-42. So you're going to have to deal with it. But yeah, look, Sullivan. I mean, I think some of this that has to also be part of the equation too. Okay, then what's your answer if you're going to do this?
Yeah.
And Sullivan to me would be pretty big time. In terms of a hire, I think Rick Tocchet, we've talked about that quite a bit too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thing. And as you've said several times, Robbie, it's, you know, look, these veterans, these guys should be able to deal with any credible coach you put in front of them, but someone who has succeeded and has that, has that time put in and a success and the skins on the wall with veteran teams, I do think that's attractive.
Well, and beyond, like, I've always said throughout this process the exit meetings were going to be important, and I think they are. I also don't think they can be everything, right? Like, I think as you evaluate this, that's kind of the one silver lining here of this season is they've been out of it for a long time. And, like, Barry Trotz should have had an opportunity to do a lot of this evaluation as the season goes on, right? Like it's no secret that they were going to miss the playoffs and this season was going to be disappointing. We've known that since basically December. Like it's been a long time that they've been dealing with this. So, you know, another question I would have is, you know, Sullivan is out there and we've already got some thoughts on the text line of the Predators should go get Mike Sullivan. I like Mike Sullivan. I think he's a really good coach. Here's another thing. Like, what happens after this first round? Like, does some team out there get crazy and fire somebody? You know, I don't think this is going to happen. I know, but I know some Colorado fans that are just irate at Jared Bednar and think that if they lose this series to Dallas, that Joe Sakic should fire him and they should move on. Now, I think that would be incredibly stupid, and I don't expect that to happen. But, like, we see this sometimes, Joe. Sometimes teams get dumb and they fire their coach. And if somebody like that became available, if I'm the Predators, I mean, I'd be trying to hop all over that. So I wonder how long is Trotz willing to kind of wait through this process here?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. First of all, like the waiting on Brunette has to be over like Thursday? How about Thursday? Can we set that deadline? Don't do the Friday news dump. Don't do the Friday news dump. And also, preferably, you know, like let it be something that we can talk about on our show this week. But seriously, like that's got to happen this week. And then, yeah, you can. I mean, the thing is, yeah, like that's an interesting one. I hadn't thought about that. That's wild.
I don't think that's going to happen. Just to be clear.
But you probably. I mean, look, if you want to go after Mike Sullivan, I would think that you'd want to get started. And you got to get aggressive, right?
Yeah.
Going after Mike Sullivan. And we briefly touched on this yesterday, but then you get into, if you're Mike Sullivan, you're looking at this team, does this excite you? Do you like, there are some young guys coming up. There's a lot of draft capital. There's a bunch of veterans who were extremely underwhelming. And there's a goalie starting his contract who just had the worst year of his career by far. And even though everybody's making excuses for him, it has to be concerning.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. What do you make of the lack of news that we've heard from the Predators and Barry Trotz to this point on the future of Andrew Brunette? What does it all mean? And what would you like to see the Predators do? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura. Coming up at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, you can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, taking your thoughts on the Predators. And we have not heard anything on the Andrew Burnett front as of yet from the Nashville Predators. What do you make of that, and where would you like to see this go? Bill on the text line, Joe, says, we went through this silence from Trotz 2 years ago when the jury was still out on John Hines. It does not bode well for Bruno. Sullivan, Bylsma, and even Laviolette would be upgrades, although I know that Laviolette is the longest of all shots. This is from Billy on the text line. You know, as far as the first part of that text, this was it's not as long, right? So, you know, Barry Trotz and David Poile and John Hines like all did like a press conference together at the end of that season. And it was, I remember it because it was kind of weird. We were asking Barry Trotz about John Hines' job while John Hines is sitting 6 feet away from him at a table up there. So that was,
oh, hey, John.
That was interesting. But, you know, time passed after that. A few weeks went by after that before there was an actual decision that was made. But it does, you know, kind of in some ways, Joe, feel similar to that. It doesn't mean it's guaranteed to have the same outcome, but it does feel a little similar to that. I actually thought about that yesterday.
Yeah, and look, at this point, now that we're into this week, if you're Andrew Burnett, I think at this point, figuratively speaking, you're twisting in the wind.
Yeah.
You gotta come on and make a decision here. And we've talked about the other people he could possibly hire and all that stuff. And again, Sullivan's available now. Like if you're gonna do something, you know, then you really need to expedite the process and let him and his coaches and their families, everybody know what the deal is. You're going to be living in Nashville next year, folks? Kids going to school in Nashville next year or not? And, of course, I was going to say, you know, even if he does come back, he probably is on the hot seat. He probably is a potential early season hire. But for the assistant coaches, you know, with kids, I guess, you know, in a lot of cases you would be able to stay through the whole year. But right now, like, everyone's lives are on hold waiting for this. And I understand that a few people having to move and things like that, I mean, that's the name of the game. That's the life of a coach. But I think at this point, it's been long enough.
Well, and then the question becomes, you know, let's say they do move on from Andrew Burnett. How attractive is this job? I mean, right now there are 7 jobs open in the league. Anaheim is open. Boston is open. Chicago is open. The Rangers are open. Philadelphia. Pittsburgh, obviously, who just moved on from Sullivan. And then Seattle Kraken. Now, what happens with Vancouver? Like, what does that job become open if Rick Tocchet decides to move on at that front? But there are already 7 jobs open. And, like, how attractive is the Predators? Like, obviously, you can take Pittsburgh out of it. But if you're Mike Sullivan and you're looking at the Predators, are they more attractive than Anaheim? Like, Anaheim got a pretty good young core. Like, they got some pretty good players that they put together. Boston, an original 6 team, it's done a whole lot of winning over the past couple of decades. Like, do you want to go there? Chicago's got Connor Bedard. Like, the Rangers, Madison Square Garden. Like, there's Philadelphia with Michkov and some of the young players they've got. I'm just saying, like, if you want to get Mike Sullivan, there's going to be some competition for Mike Sullivan out there. And where exactly do the Predators fall in line in terms of the attractiveness of their job and what that looks like? So if you're Barry Trotz and you are trying to move and you are going to move on from Andrew Burnett, like, it's going to be a pretty competitive market, I think, in terms of some of these coaches out there of the jobs that are available at the moment.
Does he like country music?
I don't know.
No, but and you mentioned the Bruins. I mean, he's from there.
Yeah.
Has a history there with the Bruins. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, that's you got tough competition. And look, the reality of the situation with the Preds is also, it's early. It's one bad year. And you could see how it could happen. And if you want, you can really blame the coaching. But if you're a coach looking at this job, are you not also a little bit skeptical about Barry Trotz? You're like, I love Barry Trotz as a coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach in my profession. Love the guy. Everybody loves the guy. But is he a good GM? Are we looking at the early stages of a strong general managership, or is this just going to be like, yeah, you know what? This actually isn't for him.
It's a fair question.
Because you don't want to go to that job if that's what you think.
It's a fair question. I got one texter that says, I think it's BS. If Trotz has made his mind up, then say so. But if you're not firing Brunette because you don't have another coach, it's incompetent because you have made that decision. He's not good enough. You're just waiting. You don't go find a new spouse before you divorce your current spouse. Now, on that front.
Some people do, but yeah.
Well, that's true. I will say in the NHL, like, teams find their next head coach before they fire their current coach all the time. Like, look, I think Peter Laviolette here was fired. I think it was announced on like a Monday night, and John Hines was here Tuesday morning coaching the team. Do you think that John Hines like negotiated a contract and came to an agreement and flew to Nashville all in the span of about 8 hours? Or were there some conversations that took place before that? You tell me.
Hey, John, it's David Poyle. Oh, hey, can you come here tomorrow and be our coach? Sure.
Just saying. I think things like that happen in the league all the time where coaches get fired and all of a sudden it's like, wow, you guys brought in a replacement very quickly. Happens a lot in this league.
Really important text here. I think it's a great point. But what would Bill Polian do? Yeah. Need more Polian talk, guys. I apologize. We have not talked enough about Bill Polian. We've got in the 8 o'clock hour, we actually have a segment that's nothing but Bill Polian quotes with between them. Get ready, folks.
My coach must run a 5.440 or faster, or I'm not hiring him behind the bench. My hockey coach better run a 5.4.
If he doesn't tie his tie in 7.8 seconds or less, you're out.
Jackson on the text line says, what about Carl Taylor? Why is he never considered?
I can't believe it took this long.
I know. Look, guys, Carl Taylor not only has not been hired by the Predators, but has also not been hired by any other NHL team. So will that happen at some point? Maybe. Will it happen with the Predators? Maybe. But frankly, I don't think Carl Taylor is what this team needs. Like, you have a veteran core right now. You have a top six group that's a bunch of 30-some-odd-year-olds, and you've got Jonathan Marchessault and Steven Stamkos talking about, like, the coaching and what's going on right now. I'm not saying that Carl Taylor couldn't come in and coach them, but I think that they need an NHL coach that is a proven head coach, and Carl Taylor is not that.
Yeah. And like we've talked about, it's if it were a different situation, if they actually were in a rebuild or just were young and it was a whole bunch of his guys who were the key guys, it would make sense. Frankly, like you've got to impress these guys. Like, you can't fire them. So the moves made in this league are the coaches, and I think it's got to be somebody. If you're moving on from Brunette, somebody who has had success in this league.
I will say there was a story out there the other day, Joe, that a report that apparently Joel Quenneville interviewed for Anaheim. So I guess, you know, we'll see what that situation ends up looking like and what that looks like around the league and if he gets reinstated and all that stuff. But looks like he's at least interviewing for that job.
Somebody was going to do it.
Somebody's going to do it. So we'll see who that ends up being. Again, there's a lot of jobs open right now. 7 jobs open. And could there be more after the first round of the playoffs are done? Like, what happens in Vancouver with Rick Tocchet? I mean, you could have, you know, at the end of this, and you know, if the Predators have a job opening too, you'd have 9 or 10 jobs open around the league, which frankly, Joe, is what this league is. There's coaching turnover all the time. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you updated on the Andrew Brunette front. Take a couple more of your thoughts on that front. Also get back into the Titans coming up next, including a move apparently the Titans are on the verge of making with their scouting department. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Got some tickets to give away to see Shinedown at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, May the 10th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Shinedown at Bridgestone coming up on Saturday, May the 10th. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com /get it all. We'll be joined by Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 coming up at 8 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Titans, the NFL draft, Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi's press conference yesterday as well. Joe, speaking of the Titans, another move being made by the Titans. PK putting it out there at paulkuharski.com that the Titans will be hiring Browns Director of Player Personnel, Dan Sagony. And he says, quote, the Titans are expected to hire him, the Cleveland Browns Director of Player Personnel, in a high-level scouting role soon. The move comes as the season for movement on the scouting side of the industry opens up, as contracts typically expire right after the draft slash at the start of May. So Joey wondered, when the draft was over, could there be some moves on the player personnel front into the scouting department? And Borgonzi and Brinker did not really want to get into that yesterday, but it looks like those moves are starting now. And Dan Sagony from the Browns coming in, their director of player personnel.
So who's out is the next question, which we can grill PK tomorrow. Or is it, are the Titans going to have so many cooks in the kitchen? It's going to be like the, you know, like the Christmas special of Iron Chef. Well, I absolutely just throw. I mean, Amy's spending money, right? I mean, Amy's spending money on people here. Yeah. Can we at least acknowledge that? But no, I mean, seriously, I assume then someone would be out.
Well, PK says in his article, per Neil Stratton, the Titans recently parted ways with director of scouting AJ Highsmith after just one season. John Salgi finished his 8th season as the team's director of college scouting, and Brian Gardner finished his 12th as director of pro scouting. So we'll see what that all ends up shaking out. But Highsmith's out.
And I believe Highsmith was a Ran guy too. I believe that's correct.
Again, I believe so.
So, okay. This is when movement happens. And I will say, not that someone coming from another successful organization means anything, Rand Carthon, but Browns have built a good roster. They made one tiny personnel mistake.
One critical error.
But it does seem like ownership has a lot to say about their quarterback situations.
Well, I mean, you screwed up the Deshaun Watson part of it so bad that now their strategy, Joe, apparently, is just bring in about 12 quarterbacks and hopefully one of them works out.
They love having way too many quarterbacks, almost as much as the Titans love having way too many GMs or former GMs in one building.
Logan says, that's what the Titans need, somebody from the Browns. I'm with you. Like, in all seriousness, they put together a pretty good roster. They just have been nuked by their quarterback decision of Deshaun Watson. Like, you know, we talk about Baker Mayfield a lot over the last few months because of, you know, the what's acceptable as a number one overall pick stuff. But in all seriousness, like, imagine this version of what Baker is now down in Tampa with the roster that Cleveland's had over the last couple of years. Like, what could that have been?
They'd be really good. They'd be winning 11, 12 games is what they'd be.
Yeah.
Real quick, I just want to address Ethan from Lawrenceburg asking me if I hate Shinedown. I don't even pay attention to what the heck is Shinedown?
Jeez. You're so disrespectful
sometimes. They're not good. You're telling me they're good?
Yeah, I like Shinedown. Lightyear's better than the Beatles. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Shine this, Shinedown. Sorry. Anyway.
That's pretty good.
Back to the Titans and the Browns. No, seriously, the Browns have built a good roster.
They have. I think, it's been overshadowed by the quarterback play. But, look, I never, want to just root for people to lose their jobs. But, as PK points out in that article, it has been a while since the Titans have, significantly shaken up their scouting department. And given where their roster is, I would not be surprised if – this is the first of several moves that happened with their scouting department. I mean, look, it was never going to happen as soon as Borgonzi took over because of the timing of all of it. Like, you just don't make scouting changes a few months before the draft when all that work has been done. But I am very interested to see, how much turnover there's going to be there on that front.
Yeah, and the NFL is weird in that way, but all that work has been done all through the year, and then you have regime changes, but the personnel people stay through the draft. And I do think the Titans probably haven't had as much turnover as they should. It's funny that both of these franchises now the Preds are actually having changes, and the Titans, of course, have had tons of changes. But in both cases, they have – both franchises have a lot of people who have been here a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not sure right now. That looks great.
Yeah. I'm not sure that it does either. We'll see exactly what this means in terms of how much turnover there is there. And look, this last draft here. I mean, this how does this draft of this personnel department that they put together turn out? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what that looks like. You know, a lot of talk about the draft yesterday from Brinker and Borgonzi. And, again, we'll have Steve Lehman coming on at 8 o'clock to get in to some of that as well. But Titans begin making the moves on the scouting side of things, and we'll see how busy that ends up being. As PK points out in his piece at paulkuharski.com, right around this time, end of April, start of May, a lot of the contracts start to expire at that point. So we'll see how much movement there is there. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Tune in today to 1025 The Game for Vanderbilt Baseball as the Commodores take on Indiana State. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'd like to think that I've been right about a lot of things.
Are we taping or what are we doing?
No, we're live.
Live. No, we're start live. The whole thing over.
And I'm not sure I have ever been more right.
I'm going to come in here. I got 16 hot takes I'm going to go over today. Two of them are going to be right. The rest of them are going to be wrong. I'll never mention them again.
Take that take and put it in the Sports Radio Take Hall of Fame.
That's illegal, and I'm calling the feds in to shut this down.
And I didn't even mean to be this right. Don't tell me that it doesn't matter.
And over and over and over and over and over again.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours.
Thanks, and Ian, yeah. Sports Take Hall of Fame. I'm not dealing with Jared's BS. I'll deal with him tomorrow on Jared versus Joe as he takes more time out of my day to help his show, which is going to change soon. But we'll deal with that later. I do want to talk today about Shedeur Sanders. So get excited, everybody. Now, the great thing is you don't have to hear my dumb-sounding voice say all of it because Bomani Jones and Kyle Brandt both said it better than I could. And we'll play those in a minute, but let me just say a few words. We need to put the idiotic conspiracy theories to bed for good. They're just embarrassing. You know, one great thing about the NFL is that everyone in this league has fallen all over themselves to beat everyone or lose their jobs and be relegated. You know, we don't have team relegation in American sports, but the people in this league are as cutthroat as it gets because they have to be. And then as for the owners and this idea of, like, collusion, you know, getting together to make a statement about Shedeur Sanders. I mean, do you seriously think these idiots, most of them heirs and heiresses, would honestly do that or could even do that if they wanted to? I mean, it's fantasy land, folks. And then we have the racism aspect of the story, and I do want to say something on that. And I heard callers yesterday on Jared's show while he was talking about his Hall of Fame take. Talking about that, bringing it up, and Jared kind of shot it down. You know, he cited like Cam Ward. He's a black man. He's the number one pick in the draft. But that is that's simplistic. I mean, there's more to it than that. I don't want to speak for all the racists, but I feel pretty confident that racists hate Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders. Outspoken, flashy, cocky. I mean, insert your favorite racist tropes. That's what we're talking about here. And there has been a heightened sensitivity to Shador's situation. If you're racist, you probably can't stand Shedeur. However, and especially at this point where we are now, after all that we've found out about this situation, if you can't stand Shedeur / the whole Deion-led approach to this thing, it does not mean you're racist. And I think anybody who looks reasonably and objectively at this situation with all the reporting around it, unless you want to dismiss all of that as spin in the name of the conspiracy, has to be able to figure out that Shedeur Sanders screwed himself badly. And that his dad did him zero favors. I mean, at some point, I'd like to be able to clear my throat. How's that? Okay.
Nice job.
At some point, thank you. I would like someone on ESPN, like any of those reporters who are uncovering a lot of this information, to call Stephen A. Smith out and ask him why the hell he doesn't think they have any credibility as reporters. Because that's basically what he's saying. Like, I'm not sure Stephen A. Smith has ever said anything more ridiculous than the stuff he said about this. And again, there's some, I think with him it is personal. But I mean, seriously, that is a big statement in itself. Also, I've just sat here and blabbed a lot, and you've had to hear my dumb-sounding voice while clearing my throat say a lot. Let's hear from Kyle and Bomani. Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football. Bomani Jones.
Over the weekends, this went from a football story to a drunken media story. It became one of these seismic media rodeos where you can sit there and watch people that you've followed for years say things that you know they don't believe, or at best they were saying from some emotional place where they were so unhinged and off the reservation. I mean, I'm hearing things like conspiracy, collusion. What are you talking about? Do you know that video of you saying that to your phone? You know it's going out to the public, right? Aren't you embarrassed? Or are you just that happy to see the engagement being churned out by people clicking on the video of a circus clown screaming conspiracy theories? Do you not think that if one team thought Shedeur Sanders would help them win one more game than the other guy, that they wouldn't immediately draft him? They would. I promise you. These coaches, these GMs are obsessed, desperate, nomadic people who just want to win games and not move their families to another city after they're fired. It has become, this whole thing, one of these media events where the public discourse is so off-putting that it makes fans root against Shedeur just because they're so turned off by the way media members are screaming about him. It's sad and it's stupid.
What is very clear to me is that Deion misjudged what kind of leverage his son had. He got bad information. I think his son was operating on the principle that my daddy knows everything, my daddy knows this league, and my daddy says I'm gonna be a top 10 pick. So I ain't got to go to all these places. I have had people tell me things about the way the Shedeur carried himself in meetings that he had with teams, and it was poor. It was the way that you behave when you have the leverage. And he wasn't good enough to have that leverage. And again, some of us were telling you that as a talent, there were shortcomings. He didn't have the physical traits that NFL teams look for. We told you this. We did. So stop acting like everybody was so sure that Shedeur was going to go early. And then now the league, they decided to put their thumb on this outspoken black man. You know how disrespectful that is to actual outspoken black man? Like, do you get it? No, that's just not what happened here. They thought they had more flex than they did. They thought the league was more interested in him that they did. They thought these teams were like, hey, they need a quarterback. They gonna take this one. They seen what it is. They ain't gonna pass this up. And they passed it up over and over and over and over again. And once again, what did I tell you earlier? If you're not gonna play and you're gonna be quarterback, people gotta like you.
So I thought both of those were very good, much better, you know, much better rants than mine here. But I think like, I just wanted to put that to bed. I hope it doesn't keep – it's just, you know, sometimes people have emotional outbursts. Mel Kiper Jr., for example, as you ranted about yesterday, Robbie. I get it.
Anybody checked on him?
By the way, there's another one of my favorite ones. I saw on the text line. Someone was like, clearly Deion paid Mel Kiper to pump up his son. Mel Kiper, first of all, like me, believe Shedeur Sanders was the best play quarterback as a quarterback in this draft. Also was a little too high on him. Also is very emotional about probably kind of looking bad at this point. But yeah, I don't know. I think it seems like Mel Kiper, like, we don't hear from again till like September, right?
Seeing Aaron Rodgers' cave.
Yeah, there you go. It just I hope again, this is emotional stuff in the wake of this. I hope we don't continue with this. Like, anyone reasonable who thinks that there's some comment by the NFL, some collusion, or again, even like this idea of like, well, they're worried about the NIL era, and so they're getting together. Dude, teams didn't think he was a starter, or the teams that would have drafted a starter didn't think he was that good. And then I think the key point, do you want him as a backup? I think that's, of all the interview stuff, that's where it's like, boy, if we're not looking at you as our guy, yeah, I don't want all that stuff coming to me if you're just our backup. Why do we want all this circus around a backup quarterback? It's not worth it. So I still think he's going to be a good player at some point. He's going to get a chance. I think he's going to start games for Cleveland this season, and I think he's going to show people that he can play, and hopefully this has humbled him. But this story is about him and them being his family screwing the whole thing up.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans draft, press conference yesterday with Borgonzi and Brinker. All that and more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025-1063, The Game.